Today's parasha is Terumah. I looked up the word Terumah in the Hebrew dictionary that I have with online software, where I have all of the Tanakh in Hebrew and have translations, etc. And it said, and I quote, Terumah means literally donation, a contribution, an endowment, an offering, or a gratuity. However, it's a word that defies perfect translation. One of the great commentators of the Torah and the Tanakh is Rashi. And the great commentator Rashi points out that the true sense of the word terumah really has no direct English translation. Rather, Rashi says that it implies the separation of a portion of one's own resources designated for a higher purpose. Beyond the command to give, these offerings were to be a gift to God, given out of a desire to help build God's sanctuary and to invite God's presence to dwell in that space that was created. And without the emotions of the heart, without the emotions of the heart, that sacred space could not be built and God could not dwell there. That's pretty powerful. Therefore, God's tabernacle was made by those who willingly gave of themselves and of their wealth. And it is from this giving that God could ultimately dwell in the sanctuary that was created, and the people who built it. So that was an appropriate commentary to begin our look at this. It's going to be a short look at this parashat. This parashat also contains a revelation of the menorah. And I've spoken about the revelation of the menorah many times. So today the Lord wanted me to focus on this phrase in the scripture, from anyone with a compelling heart. So we'll go to Exodus 25, the beginning of the parashah, verses 1 through 7, and they're actually short. It says, Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, Vayaver Adonai el Moshe lemor, tell Bnei Israel to take up an offering for me. Wonder whether it's to receive an offering or to give an offering. The Torah says take up an offering, which implies moving out of where you are to bring it up to a certain place. This is part of the reason we do the ark because it's in a sense you come from your seat. This is not in an angle. But you come from your seat and elevate that offering and give it to the Lord. We continue. From anyone whose heart compels him, you are to take my offering. These are the contributions which you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet cloth, fine linen and goat hair, ram skins dyed red, seal skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastplate. The first thing that caught my attention was this phrase in the parashat at the beginning. From anyone whose heart compels him, you're to take my offering. So that it caught my interest. The translators of the TLV translated the word yidbeinu libo to anyone whose heart compels him. I remember in 1993 when we started computerizing the curriculums at the University of Florida. In the College of Engineering, I wrote a grant and received the first grant to computerize the first class in electrical engineering, the first class in the College of Engineering, to use presentation software and teach the class in a multimedia classroom. At the time, there was a center called the U.S. Center for Instructional Research Computing Art Activity, called CIRCA. The head computer guy from CIRCA was originally the head computer guy of the Northeast Regional Data Center, and I met him in 1967 when I arrived at the university, met him and some other helpers that were all from GHS, and met the director of that, a professor by the name of Ralph G. Selfridge from Britain, who was just an eminence in mathematics. His actual degree was in mathematics, but he was interested in computers and became one of the founding members of the computing science department at the University of Florida. He taught a language called APL that he became the most outside of the guy who wrote it, which was Kenneth Iverson. He became the most well-known APL person in the world. And I wanted to consider myself the second. So I worked with him very closely since the early, those early times. And back when I was an undergraduate. And then took his classes and was challenged. In his classes, he had a thing about that you could do these 10 homework assignments, or you could do number 10. And you didn't have to do the other 9. Guess what? I tried. Oh boy, did I try. The assignment was to find all 92 solutions. All 92 solutions of placing 8 kings, 8 queens on a chessboard so that no two can attack each other. When you do it 4x4, there's only 4 answers. 2 of them are mirror images. But when you do 8x8, it becomes 92. Oh boy, I spent the whole semester, and near the end, I just went to his office and said, I don't think I can make it. So over the weekend, I'm going to do all 9 of the others so that I would get an A in your class. And I did do all 9 of the others. And then after the semester, the quarter system was over, he invited me over and showed me his solution. His solution was 317 characters. Listen to what I'm saying. He found all 92, printed all 92 solutions for the 8x8 Queens problem with a single line APL program, one line, not many lines, one line of 317 characters. I tried to understand that for about 2 years. In other words, there was no way I could have made anything like that. He was a brilliant person. We became such friends that he was in my PhD committee. And the first time that one of my papers was accepted in IEEE conference, he flew me there and then acquiesced to let Marilyn ride too. So we rode in his personal plane from Gainesville to Knoxville. We got there, then my presentation was the next day. So that night, he took us to a restaurant and introduced Marilyn and I to excellent wine, to French cooking, steak au pov, and all kinds of things. This is in downtown Knoxville. We had never been introduced to such. As it turns out, later I found out that he was a chef. And actually, so he had this professor from England that drives a Sprite and fixed his own cars and everything like that, was actually a chef. When he married the third time, his wife was one of the prominent attorneys, became a prominent attorney here in Gainesville. I remember he was not called Dr. Selfridge to me. I had the privilege, even as a young person, to call him Rafe. And Rafe was an awesome person. When Circa and the director there knew that I was going to do, had gotten this grant, they offered the use of a presentation package called Compel. Compel, instead of PowerPoint 4 for Windows, this is early in the ballgame, okay, 1993. Because for around $99, you could get a powerful tool that included graphics, video capability, sound clips, in addition to obligatory charts and graphs that every software of its kind should have for $99. So they bought it for me. They wanted me to try it and maybe use that to computerize the first class at the university. It was also capable of animation and morphing. So you understand what I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to just make a PowerPoint presentation. I was trying to make a multimedia presentation in two courses. The first course was the course in EEE, required course for computer science and electrical engineering, called microprocessors, that I had become quite knowledgeable on while I was at Auburn University, and that helped change when I came to the University of Florida. That word compel, the software was really good, and I used it. But that word compel stuck with me over the years. So I looked in the English dictionary and found the definition of compel. Compel means evoking interest, attention, or admiration in a powerfully irresistible way, not able to be refuted, inspiring conviction, not able to be resisted, overwhelming. That's the word that the Lord used for his offering. Let me give you some synonyms so that we can get a bigger view of what that word, terumah, which is where we get the name of this, comes from. The synonyms are many, and here's a few of them. Enthralling, captivating, gripping, engrossing, riveting, spellbinding, convincing, persuasive, cogent, irresistible, forceful, and powerful. That's all those words applied to, the Lord said, for anyone whose heart has that. Anyone whose heart has those words, which is translated as a single word, compel. Those are the ones that I'm interested in getting an offering. But it's not just an offering. Let me read that again. From anyone whose heart compels him, you are to take my offering. Not just an offering, my offering. Okay? He puts his my in front of the word terumah. When it comes to anything called my offering, Adonai himself chose the concept of a compelling heart. A compelling heart is the motivation for such an offering. Even more to the point, when it comes to anything that deals with Adonai, he wants our hearts always involved, that compels us to do what he says. So we need to like really adopt, like I adopted that software and change EEL. Okay? EEL 461. I changed it to. Then I changed EEL 3701 for that on the next semester. He wants us to have a compelling heart to perform and obey his word. Because see, it's always a matter of the heart. Always a matter of the heart. Let's try some scriptures. There are lots of them, but I found some really good ones. For the eyes of Adonai run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. And then he goes and tells King Asa, you have done foolishly in this, therefore you will have war. This is in 2 Chronicles 16:9, and I use the King James Version because I memorized it that way. Anything less, what he told Asa, okay? Anything less is, calls it, doing foolishness. Anything less than that kind of heart, Adonai called it foolishness. Anything less is foolishness. Therefore, look at this one, Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. This one you all probably get excited about. It says, the heart is deceitful of all things and incurable. Wow, we could preach on that one too. So who can know the heart? Next verse. I, Adonai, search the heart. I try the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. Awesome scripture, huh? Do you realize that when it comes to tithes and offerings, that we need to ensure that these things come because we have a compelling heart? This is not a message on tithing or on money or any such thing. This is a message on things that we give to the Lord. They need to come from a compelling heart. A compelling heart about what? Compelling heart to please him. A compelling heart to please Adonai. And not because it is required, and it is, or expected, and it is. Those things are put aside. You see, in Kol Simcha, I believe that we love Adonai so much in this congregation that everything that we do is motivated by unconditional love. The Greek word for unconditional love is agape. Nothing else. It's not about the commandments. It's not about the mitzvot. And it is. It's not that that's expected. And it is. It's not that that's part of who we are. And it is. Ultimately, all those things are great. But see, I was a fan of Tony the Tiger and the cereal with sweetness in it. And it's not great. It's great. There you go. I also want you to notice the following. That Adonai doesn't want junk. I want you to notice that Adonai doesn't want junk or leftovers. He asked specifically for gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet cloth, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, seal skin, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, and onyx stones. I read that and go, onyx? I used to be in a part of Mexico where they work with onyx. And we used to bring for $8 onyx made chess boards for $8. Okay? I used to bring them to family members and people like that. And the thing is, you couldn't buy it. I bought it from someone who mined it and made it himself with his own hands. Awesome kind of thing. The best of the best, don't you think? Don't you think? Now, where did the children of Israel get this stuff? Where did it come from? When you say, well, they went and gathered it. No, they couldn't gather it. They're in the wilderness. There are no trees. There's no grass. There's no gold. There's no silver. There's no bronze. There, none of that stuff is there in the desert. Where did they get it from? The answer is from the Egyptians. They got it, okay, the morning after Passover. The scriptures tells us, Adonai gave the people favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. Let them have what they asked for. So when they got ready to ask for, they didn't ask for junk. Notice the following, okay? Give them whatever they asked for. So they asked for the best of the best. Okay? The best of the best. So the treasures were given to them just a few weeks earlier. And by the way, it was not free. Because Adonai said that he would cause the Egyptians to be spoiled in payment for 430 years of labor. They worked 430 years for it. So guess what? That which you had was yours. It was mine. I worked for it. I earned it. Okay? Huh? Is the fruit of our labor that allows us to give resources to Adonai. Let me say that again. It is the fruit of our labor that allows us to give an offering to Adonai. To give in substance, not pennies and not whatever, okay? Not the remainders and not the scrap. You see, I can summarize by saying, Adonai deserves the very best. Adonai is like Hallmark. Only when you want to give the very best. Now, we tend to focus mostly on the love aspects of a believer's life. And if we do, there will be a compelling motivation to do and give the very best there is to Adonai. It's an attitude of the heart. That desire permeates everything we do for him and for his people. I believe we're to treat Adonai's things with reverence, with fear and delight. And I pray that our congregation will develop a heart that compels us to practice excellence and give when only the very best can do. I think that's a goal for this year. A goal for this year, among the others, is that we want to strive to become doers, not hearers only. Hearers and doers, right? Na'aseh v'nishma. But not just because he said so. He did. And not because our people said so. They did. And not because that's what we expected of us. It is. Not because that's what required of us. It is. Not because there is somebody standing at the door to make sure that your wallet got redeemed or any such thing. This implies more than just money. This implies time. This implies all kinds of areas of the believer's life that we offer unto Adonai. And we want to offer it. When it comes to his offering, we always want to offer it with a compelling heart. Wow, this is going to be one glorious ride this year as we obey his word. Shabbat shalom. Please stand. New record. $11.53.